Amen.
Nobody comes here and remains the same. Lie. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, some people will be baptizing this morning. How many of them? How many came here to be baptized today? Or how many want to be baptized today? Every Tuesday we baptize. Nobody today? Can you just stand up? Let me see. How many of you? You want to be baptized today? Where you come from? From Lagos here?
Lagos here. Redeem. I'm from Redeem.
Where
from Lagos
here.
I stay in Lagos here.
You stay in Lagos here? Why have you not been baptized and you go to Redeem?
Sir, I've been baptized before, but, you know, I went to the world somehow, so I want to re-baptize myself.
No. I love, that's the reason why I normally ask questions. No, you miss it. You baptized before, then you went to the world.
When I went to the world, I was baptized, you know. So, I don't know. I was told that I need to re-baptize in the Lord.
The one you baptized before was in the what? Was not in the Lord. See, listen. This is very important. Amen. The only reason why you will re-baptize now is for only two reasons. There are only two reasons why you should baptize now. One is the one that has never been baptized before, but now you have given your life to Christ. Now you want to baptize. Or you have been in a church that has not given the desired attention to the need for baptism. And you have seen the opportunity now and you want to baptize. Or the second group, those who baptize but baptize wrongly and they want to correct it with the opportunity they have here now. So please, if you baptize before and you believe you baptized correctly and you went back into the world, you are not to re-baptize. You are only to repent. Baptism is done only once if it was properly done. Baptism is only once. You don't, after baptism, you backslid. Now you want to come back fully again unto the Lord and serve Him now. What God wants from you is not a second baptism, but repentance. You repent and ask God for forgiveness and make a decision to follow Him. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So don't call for baptism because you baptized before and you went to the world. No. But your own case, where you baptized, you did it wrongly from your confession now. Because you baptized in Redeem. And Redeem baptizes wrongly. What are you saying?
No, sir. When I was a young boy, I was in Assemblies of God. That is where we baptized then. But
Assemblies of God too baptizes wrongly. So if you baptize in Assemblies of God, rebaptize, because they also do it wrongly. If you are hearing me for the first time, and please, we are not telling you to baptize so that you become our member. So don't think I'm condemning one church so that you become our member. No. That's not talking about salvation. And when it comes to salvation, where you worship is not the matter. It is your relationship with God that matters. So please, you can go anywhere you want to go, where you feel you can serve God in truth and in spirit. And that truth begins with the doctrine for justification. There is a wrong baptism sprinkling of water is wrong. Infant baptism is wrong. And the third one, which many people are guilty of, including people who baptized in this church, they baptized wrongly. This group of people, they have not repented and they are going into water baptism in the name of Jesus. It's wrong baptism. You must first repent first before you enter that water. The formula is in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, if you are coming for water baptism because of the liver, because you have problem, they say if I go for water baptism, the problem will go. It's wrong baptism. The problem will go. Lie. Because you are not going under the blood. You are still entering that water with your sin and coming out with your sin. You have only entered there to swim. And you are not entering for swimming. And please, this is not a select church where they take you inside water to do work for you. To bathe you inside water. Praise God. So, it's because of what you say that I use the opportunity to say these things. What of you, sir? Eh? You want to correct it. You heard our teaching? Where did you hear it? Talk to microphone.
In
Bright TV. Can we clap our hands now? Thank you very much, sir. That's the... In fact, what of that sister there?
I did infant baptism and I came from Ekiti to do the main one, the Marshall baptism. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. And who else? Yes?
Okay. I've never done it before. I've never baptized.
You have never even given your life to Christ before. Now you want to give your life to Christ. Now you want to serve him. You promise to serve him?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
You promise to serve him?
Yes, sir.
You don't go smoke?
No, sir.
You don't go smoke again? Eh?
No, sir.
You don't go smoke. I see cigar for your hand as they talk. So. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. After you enter that water and you come out, that cigar where you hold will disappear. I used to smoke too, so I'm not yapping you. Me too. In fact, I smoked the big one, Igbo. But when Christ arrested me, all things are. Behold, all things. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't marry?
No, no, sir.
You get picking?
No, sir.
Not get picking before you marry, oh. Not get picking before you marry.
Okay, sir.
Any woman, any small girl tell you, say, get belay for you?
No.
I'm seeing something. Don't think I want to rubbish you because you are coming to Christ, so you are now my brother. Eh? Okay, you are now my brother. I'm going to give you my phone number because there's something you are going to tell me today. We shall become friends. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What of you, sir? Which church? Eh?
Catholic.
You want to...
I have not done it before.
Only you did in Catholic.
I have not done it before.
At all. Even for Catholic. You know they go church.
I was going to church. I started catechism, but I didn't finish up.
You started...
The catechism class.
You started catechism class.
But I didn't finish up.
But you didn't finish it. So you want to finish it here now? Are you ready for our catechism?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Are you ready for our catechism?
Yes.
Okay. Then after that, you will receive confirmation. Praise the Lord. How did you know this church?
Through my friend, yeah.
Your brother brought you. Your friend.
Yeah.
You're a member of this church? Eh? Or you visit us? You came here last 2 weeks. Have you been baptized?
But from Catholic Church.
But you brought him. He's coming for baptism. You are not going to be baptized.
I've baptized when I was.
Okay, his own, even Catholic, you know, baptized.
I never baptized.
Okay, you, did you go through, you finish the catechism?
Yes.
Okay, were you confirmed?
Yes.
Okay, you take Holy Eucharist?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God will help us. Amen. When we have people like this here, there's need for them to know something. You see, he has followed it faithfully because they told him that is the process of salvation. And he followed it faithfully and he has seen his friend who was not baptized like him. So he has brought him too, so that two of them will go to heaven together. That's how it should be. But brother, Catholics baptize wrongly. Because you baptize as an infant. Infant baptism is wrong. Eh? You come here only on Tuesdays. You said 2 weeks ago you came here.
Yeah, I come last vigil.
Okay, you came vigil.
Yes, last Friday. And I was here last week Tuesday.
Okay, you came Tuesday, then you came vigil. Friday vigil. And you like the church.
Yes.
What's the difference between this church and your church?
I'm seeing much difference.
Nothing much different.
I'm seeing much difference.
Like which area?
Like inside me.
Inside you?
Yeah, there is much difference.
What is the difference? Just one. Here, then they prophesy, Abby.
Yeah. Yes.
Then they prophesy.
Yes.
But TV Joshua Church, then they prophesy too.
I don't know.
You don't know? Now, the one way you know with this. Praise the Lord. Now there's more than prophecy here. Amen. There's more than prophecy. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Go and baptize, so you want to go to heaven.
I will.
Go. Today. Not be by force, so. Let that thing will make you know there's something here. Convince you.
Okay.
To correct it. The thing there is that we can be sincere in worshiping God. But it's not just enough to be sincere. You may be sincerely wrong. And the evidence of your sincerity is demonstrated by your response when you are shown the right thing. You say, so I did it wrong. And please, sometimes you are stumbled by the way, especially myself, preach. When I call your pastor's name, or I call the name of your church, you switch off. Because it becomes sacrilegious. You are talking like that against this great man of God. You are the one that know him to be great. You made him great. Before all of us, the Bible calls us brethren. We are brethren. And we must give respect to our elders. The Bible says so. And because they are our pastors, we must respect them. But that does not mean that when they are wrong, we should not point it out. Because nobody is above mistake. And it is deliberate. I normally preach like that. Don't think I don't know how to talk. I know how to talk. I'm not rude though. I don't insult people. I don't insult anybody. I have my personal staff that work with me at home in the office here. I don't insult them. Go and find out from them. In fact, go and ask my wife. I've been married to her now 30 years. I've never insulted her. Never, I've never used any negative language against her. 30 years. And not because I'm afraid that she will beat me. No, she can't beat me. In fact, I'm stronger than her. Where is she? Praise the Lord. So, but I say the way I say it, so that you will wake up, say, wait till this man to talk. If everybody is wrong, so now he right, or you're making proof to us, say he right. So that you will listen to me. Listen. 99% of Pentecostal churches are Trinitarian churches. And because they are Trinitarian, they have taken their understanding of the doctrine of the Godhead, their understanding of the Godhead, and apply it to water baptism. So, therefore, in interpreting Matthew 28 verse 19, the understanding with their Trinitarian understanding of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, they are seeing Trinity instead of unity. That is where they miss it. God is not three. There is nowhere you see in the Bible where it's written God the Son. Nothing like that. There is God the Father. He came to save us in His Son. He created that Son for that purpose. Praise the Lord. Who is the Son? The Son was Emmanuel. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. If you see me, you see the Father. The office, there are three offices of one God. The Father above us, in His Son, and in us that He has redeemed as the Holy Ghost. So it is three offices, not three personalities. God is one. Listen, I repeat. God the Father is an office of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Because He begotten us. God came in His Son. The Son of God is another office for the purpose of redemption, to pay the price under the law of the kinsman redeemer. Then, after He paid the price, He went to come and dwell in us. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Father's Spirit in us. Three offices of one God. Not three persons in one God. Co-equal, co-anointed, co-this, co-that. God does not share His glory with anyone. Doesn't share His glory with anyone. Praise the Lord. So correct water baptism where they miss it. Baptize in the name. They have forgotten that the emphasis of that commandment in Matthew 28 verse 19, the emphasis is the name. The emphasis in that commandment is the name. That is the name of God for our redemption, for our salvation. Go and baptize in the name. That name is the name of the Father. That name is the name of the Son. That name is also the name of the Holy Ghost. One name. At the mention of that name, every knee bows. He said, in words or in deed, whatever you do, do all in that name. That name, Jesus. So if anybody takes you inside the water, I baptize you according to Matthew 28 verse 19, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and put you inside the water and bring you out. He has not called the name. He has repeated that scripture. He has not interpreted and obeyed the scripture. The emphasis is the name. And every baptism in the New Testament was done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the name of the Father. Jesus is the name of the Son. Jesus is the name of the Holy Ghost. And when I finished sharing this in Umuahia, and somebody stood up and said, prove to me that prove as I look up. Huh. Prove to me that the name of the Father is Jesus. Prove to me that the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Bible says baptize in the name of Father, so you are teaching another doctrine. Amen. Maybe somebody is asking that question here now. Anybody want to ask that? Any theologian here? Thank God, there's no such question here. Any theologian? I will answer you now. I don't want to waste time. If you already know it, there's no need to waste time. Who you be? You go to school of theology? Yes?
Praise the Lord. I want to ask you a question, sir.
Yes.
The question I want to ask is about, I've heard your teaching several times, but what I want to ask is about Jesus Christ. What I want to ask is in John Gospel chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I want to ask, that scripture, that chapter and verses of the scripture, is it talking about two persons or one personality? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I want to know if it is talking about one person or two persons.
Amen.
Amen.
You have to also understand that scripture very well. See, listen. Amen. Before you ever understand John chapter 1 and verse 1, 2, 3. And if you go to verse 10, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now listen, the Bible says something here. Have you ever had this scripture, Matthew 11:28? Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes, sir.
You know that scripture?
Yes, sir.
Now, it sounds as if it's a general call, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
He says, come to me, so everybody comes to him, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's another scripture by the same Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 44. And there he says, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him.
Yes, sir.
Now, so it means if you come to Jesus, it is him, the Father, that has drawn you to him. Correct?
Yes, sir.
So it means nobody can come to Jesus except that Father draw you to him, correct?
Yes, sir.
So if you are born again today, it's the Father that draw you, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, why did he draw you like me, that come from Muslim family? He allowed my senior brother, is Elijah, to die. Elijah was not smoking Igbo. Elijah was not drinking beer. But he had plenty of wives. But here am I. I had no time for even their Muslim. No God in my agenda. And yet, one day he caused me to know him. And now he said, he is the one that drew me to Christ. Why did he draw me and did not draw my brother? Now, the answer is in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, according to his purpose, who are those that he called? First, he called you according to his purpose. Verse 29, he says, for whom he did foreknow. He knew something about me. And when did he know it? From the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us so. From the foundation of the world. Before I was born, God knew me. God knew my Elijah brother. That a time will come when the gospel will be presented to us under whatever circumstance that I will receive it. But my senior brother will never receive it. He knew that before the world began. And man fell in the Garden of Eden. And God in his foreknowledge, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God saw from the beginning the billions of people that will inhabit this earth. But he saw two groups of people. He saw a group that if he presents his salvation to them, for Isaiah 53 says, he said, who will believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord revealed is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, but it's not everybody that will believe. God knows those who will believe and those who will not believe. And God, from that beginning, saw these two groups of people. They will believe,
another group will not believe. No matter which miracle they see, they will still fornicate. They will still drink beer. They will still do all the abominable things. But there is another group. Just give her one small revelation. He will abandon everything and hold on to the God of Israel. Because of it, before the foundation of the world, through his foreknowledge, he has a book of life with names written there. That's why the Bible says that the book of life is written from the foundation of the world. The names that he will save. Now, let me complete the story. He, God, knowing now that these two groups exist, there is a group that we believe. He, from the beginning, even before he created Adam and Eve, from the beginning, he decided to have a plan that he will save that group. That is the meaning of John chapter 1. In the beginning, that word there is logos, is thought. In the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. That thought is how he will save that group that we believe when man will fall. In the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. And the thought was God. And the thought became flesh in the womb of a virgin woman. That is the meaning of that John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, up to verse 12. Praise the Lord. He said, for whom he did foreknow. Verse 21. Verse 29, Romans chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Predestinate. Your destiny was determined before you began. Did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his dear son, that he, Jesus, may become the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he did predestinate, verse 30, then he called. And whom he called, then he justified and glorified with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Justification is the process where your sins are remitted. You stand before God as if you have never sinned. If he is the one that convicted you and you gave your life to Christ, he will lead you to correct water baptism. I have had pastors, GOs, making altar call, and they are praying, Father, write their name in the book of life. I will be laughing. See, this man is an archbishop. See, this man is a general overseer. Millions of people are following him, and he doesn't even know what the book of life is all about. It is because your name is in the book of life, that is why you give your life to Christ. Nobody, no name will be added now because you gave your life to Christ. That name was already written before you were formed in your mother's womb. Praise the Lord. And they are the reason why Jesus went to the cross on Calvary. And when those people, the time comes for them to give their life to Christ, they don't put one leg here, put one leg there. No. And that's why we say salvation is not for all. And that's why we also teach that once you are saved, forever you are saved. Because God is not gambling. And there are people that assume that they are saved, but the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Bible said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I think I've answered you.
I quite understand what you are saying, but what you said about when you mentioned Jesus, you are talking about referring the Father to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Bible, from the book of Genesis down to Revelation, there is no way in the scripture where the Bible documented that when you call the Father, you are calling Jesus Christ. So it takes revelation knowledge. Now, it takes conviction for somebody to believe that when you are mentioning the Father, you are referring to Jesus Christ.
Okay, no, wait. You don't need, it's scripture. It's not revelation. It's your ability to read the scripture. Okay, John chapter 14. Can we read it? Philip, in John chapter 14, asked Jesus, show us the Father. He kept talking about the Father. He kept talking about the Father. Philip says, show us the Father. Do you know that scripture? And will be satisfied. Do you know that scripture? You know the scripture. Talk to the microphone. Yes. What did Jesus reply? What was his reply?
He said that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
You said there's nowhere in the scripture that refer to Jesus as the Father. And I can also tell you, even in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Praise the Lord. I think I've answered your question. God bless you. It's in the Bible. You don't want to read it, that's why. It's just like our sisters. I told you people some time ago. I said, I was in Amsterdam. A sister was sitting like this in the program we had there in Holland. And they were sitting like this. And then I was wearing trousers, wearing earring, and I was preaching. And one of them stood to say, where is it in the Bible that say we should not wear trousers, women? I opened it. I started by asking her, why do you want to wear, you be man? Anyway, since you say scripture, why I'm referring to it, do you know that when we read Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, she was seeing it for the first time. I said, you have never known this in the Bible? She said, no. She has never read it. She has never known. And she goes to church. And the Bible calls anyone that does that abomination. Like people don't know that it is abomination before the Lord to put tattoo in your body. It's abomination. Because there are 10 churches where the pastors will not go that area. The pastors are interested in your pocket, not in your soul. So they will not teach you anything that will affect your soul. So people go to church and there is nothing that gets them closer to the cross of Jesus. Because they don't preach the cross anymore. But when you come here, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. So I cherish that old rugged cross. Is very rugged, oh. Till my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday. Everywhere, prosperity, prosperity. Come and sow, touch my shoe. Connect to my grace, you become millionaire. And the foolish people, nobody is becoming millionaire. Now the pastor, when they give, they become millionaire. Now they get poorer and poorer. Because when you collect, it enter his own account. And he's telling you, believe God. He not if you believe God, oh. Now you own the collector. For what shall it profit a man? You gain the whole world and lose your soul. And so because they know the kind of people that come to church now, they go anywhere and get one small anointing. He, poof, everybody will fall. The man of God be this, so, the man of God, unknown to you, the Bible tells us there is another Jesus. There is another spirit. And there is another gospel. Stand up. Sing this song with me. I need you every hour. Most gracious Lord, no tender voice like that can be support. Hallelujah! I need you. Oh, I need you. And I need. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I declare this place you came here today, the last bus stop to every problem in your life that follow you here in the name of Jesus. Father, confirm to them through their testimony that what we preach in this ministry is the truth. Confirm to them that the grace in this ministry is not another spirit. So another spirit. And we didn't bury anything here. And that I never went anywhere for anybody to lay hand on me for ministry. I didn't go anywhere. I'm not mixing anything. I'm holding on to your word. And it is your word I'm presenting to them. Therefore, Father, confirm the power in your word in the name of Jesus Christ. And those of you going for water baptism, as you enter that water, any problem that follow you inside that water, covenant, curse, sickness, frustration, poverty, whatever it is, as you come out, it will not come out of that water with you in the name of Jesus. Amen.